From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. It is an honor to have sitting across from me a person whose film, Chocolat, the real Chocolat, we should say, by the way, changed my life 31 years ago. Of course, we know her for films such as Beau Travail, Vendredi Soir, and her newest film is High Life. I'm speaking with the filmmaker Claire Denis. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much. Before
Thank
we get
you.
To High Life, talk to me about meeting Isaac de Bankole the first time, because he's such an incredible actor. What was your first conversation with him like? Do you remember?
Oh, I met him before we start shooting. I gave him the script of Chocolat. He was on stage in a theater, and he immediately said yes. And as maybe my producer thought the part was not important and I could choose, pick up anyone in Cameroon and not have an actor, you know. So it was a little fight, but in the end, we made it. And I think Isaac since then has been a friend forever.
But he's such an incredible presence, and I cannot imagine the film without him, because we need that presence to be felt even when he's not on screen, don't we?
Oh yeah. He was the main character, even without being a talkative one, you know, but. Nevertheless, it's there as if he's reigning. It's like it's his own kingdom, is its moral strength.
It is, and that's interesting because and I was saying to you before we got started, you use silences so beautifully, and so often you create pieces about characters who don't speak so much. Mm-hmm. And I wanted you to talk about that a little bit, because you want us to get to know these characters in a way that just goes beyond dialogue, don't you?
Yes. I like dialogues when they are very witty, but in a way, when it's a more tragic narration film, I think it's better to trust the presence of the actor and not to have too much dialogue to explain stuff, you know. I think it's always a little bit boring for me to have actor who have to explain who they are, what they are doing with dialogue. I prefer when it's in the scene with them and almost no dialogue. And I like dialogue that are maybe not there to explain things.
It's funny as you say that, that's almost a reaction to sort of French bourgeois comedy where characters are constantly explaining themselves.
Yeah.
And so much so that we don't need to hear them do anything else because they're telling us who they are, that there's no movie happening.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also a little bit fake because it pretends to make fun or a comedy about people from different social class or different community, as we say now. But on the other hand, I think it's so fake, does not bring any better feeling about life.
No, it's basically there just to sort of say that the bourgeoisie are okay. And your films are meant to ask questions about society. Mm. I was telling you, one of my favorite films of yours happens to be Trouble Every Day, because it really is about an examination of that social world. Mm-hmm. And talk about where that movie came from for you, because it's how you got connected to that.
In the beginning of the 90s, I came to New York. I did a short film with an American production called Good Machine. And I 40-minute film. First time I met Vincent Gallo. And somebody introduced him to me. And I was completely amazed by his culture, the way he was reacting to my question, the way it was interesting, the way it was nice to spend the afternoon with him. And I asked him if he wanted to be in that short film. We had an extremely good time. His presence was extraordinary, you know. And since he has been a friend too and someone I like a lot, also as a director, as a musician.
As somebody with all kinds of interests.
Yeah.
And I guess what I'm asking you about these actors, you have an interest in very different kinds of faces. I mean, between Isaac and Vincent. I mean, and even a lot of the actors you cast in High Life, they don't look so much like actors. And that's almost like there's also a part of you that rejects, and you're smiling as I say this.
People, because they look beautiful.
Yes.
Naturally. I mean, they are great, like, they don't need to force the audience to see they are acting.
Because, but they're also, you tend to like or want people who have so much presence that we're looking at them even when they're not talking.
Yeah.
And I wonder, part of you is somebody who pays attention to these people when they're not talking just to get a sense of what they will bring to the films. Because especially in the case of Vincent and Isaac, people who hadn't done much movie work before you work with them, that's a really big risk to take, a big bet to make on them.
For me, it's not. In a way, I am too... I have other fears. My biggest fear would be to be shooting with people I don't trust enough or I won't be interested enough in, you know. So I think for me, that would be the worst. So for me to work with Isaac, Vincent, they are great actors anyway, and the people I work with in High Life was, it's a choice. It's a choice to feel with friends, you know, to feel with people I like to be with.
It's so true. We're talking to the genius filmmaker, Claire Denis. Her newest film as director is High Life. But I just find myself thinking about, in making a first film, those early films of yours, which I thought were really so bold by the choice of letting us get to know these places first and having these people just move around in them before they start to speak. And going back to Chocolat, which is so much of you, how much time did you spend working on that script before you started to shoot?
Actually, not too long. The script was, we wrote it with my companion Jean-Paul Fargeau. We wrote it quickly, and he had never been in Africa, so I took him to Cameroon, and we spent 2 months there. I show him places, and then we rewrote a second draft as we were back from Cameroon, and I knew the location I wanted, so it took me a little bit more than a year to find enough money to bring a crew to Cameroon, to convince people too, you know, and to get the agreement of the Cameroonese Republic. So, maybe almost 2 years. Because I had to wait for the rain season. No, for... I could not shoot during the rain season,
it would be over.
So I had to wait for the dry season, and each time I was losing months.
I'm still struck by it, just watching it again to get ready for this and watching all of your movies. I was struck by how much confidence there is in the filmmaking. And you talked about trust. There's an enormous amount of trust in the audience in that film, saying this, first of all, it's a French film about Africa that is not about... French domination of Africa, but an understanding about how the French ruined Africa. And so it's asking a lot, but it's an incredibly confident film. And you have a lot of trust in audiences, and from the very beginning, didn't you?
I'm a very anxious person. I have a lot of fear, and I'm so afraid to think the audience could not like a film or could not trust a film. But to compete against that, I have a sort of naivety or something that makes me believe that if I am honest myself in the film, then maybe there is a chance to touch the audience. I'm not sure it's true, but I still believe in that.
But I think that belief, that naivete, if you will, there's a kind of a purity to that. Mm. So what you're saying, the audience is, this is the world I'm going to give you. This is the world that I know. I mean, in the case of Chocolat, it's literally that. And because the politics of the film come as we get to know the people rather than you presenting the politics early on. I just thought, again, so much of your career as a filmmaker feels to me as a reaction to what has come before. And some part of you feels there's been something missing from movies.
Sure. A lot was missing. Still today, you know. The fact that we had been a colonial country, you know, and also sent slaves to the Caribbean, you know, all this is our history, French people. And it's not often in films, you know, or almost never, you know. And I thought it was not my mission, but if I wanted to make films, I had to be clear with that. What was missing? So maybe I could bring a little ray of light where it was in the darkness. And it's not the darkness. The darkness would be a great word. It was in the unexisting, you know?
It's funny because there's so much about French film. I mean, that French film into the 80s and still even now doesn't tend to examine colonialism.
Yeah.
That there is a fear of that. I think there's a cultural embarrassment about that now.
Of course.
And that this was a film that was at a point when these films hadn't been made before, unapologetically said, this is what the French did, but also acknowledged the beauty of that culture and that that culture would survive that colonialism. I mean, again, it's as much as anything, it's a film of hope to me.
Oh, it is. I remember the end of Chocolat with the music of Abdullah Ibrahim. For me, it still bring me a sort of joy when I hear that and when I see those three guys in the airport, you know, and the rain coming in. For me, it was a message of hope.
I thought completely, but in almost all of your films, even Trouble Every Day, there's a sense that no matter how beautiful or awful things are, that life goes on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's almost, to me, the essence of Claire Denis, that life continues whether we're here for it or not, isn't it?
Exactly.
Is that a
life is short.
It is.
And in a way, to miss, not to miss is life, it's different. It's almost a philosophical problem, but to miss the important things that made me, I wouldn't do that. No, I think one life is even maybe too short to give back everything I received, you know? So I try.
Because I just think that's fascinating. You know, there's something of the life force in your movies, that life itself is a kind of a character in your movies.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wonder how conscious a thing that is for you to do. If that's something you're striving to do or you're attracted to material that offers that kind of life goes on aspect.
Probably. I'm a very contradictory person. I'm maybe sometime sort of depressive about the future, and yet I have such a belief in life and such a belief in what a person-to-person, a meeting someone could bring so much to your own life, you know? And the meeting for me is the key of life, of course.
We'll take a break. I'm thrilled to be sitting across from Claire Denis. I'm so happy. I'm so excited about this. I can't get words out. Her new film as a director, of course, is High Life is a Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
It's the treatment. I'm still here. So is my guest, Claire Denis. We know her for so many great films. Her newest, of course, is High Life, which I guess we should talk about, because even in High Life, which offers some kind of dire circumstances sometime, there still is a life force in this movie.
Sure.
And a sexual life force, which is often a part of your movies too.
Yeah.
This sexual life force. And
it's life, huh?
Let's hope. But let's...
No, I mean... there is no life without sex.
Exactly. That's my very clumsy point here. But talk about the making of this movie. I mean, I know it's a long time process, and it's an unusual genre for me to think of you in. But when I've connected to your other films, like that idea that, you know, the world will still exist, that will exist in the future, off world here, that it actually connects me to all your films. At some point or another, it's about sort of a... the need and the will of people to go on, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why they choose that mission, which is horrible. They're treated like lab rat, you know, but they prefer that than to stay in a death row corridor for years. They are offered to, in a way, they are hoping to discover something, you know. They know in the death corridor nothing will happen. Death, yes, but... after how many years, you know?
No, it's that thing that, again, can take us back to Chocolat, that idea of even under what looks like the most oppressive circumstances, mm-hmm. looking for an alternative that will give you dignity.
Of course, of course. And then when we are reaching almost the end, the lonely guy who is staying there, he understand for maybe for the first time of his life that his life has a price, as a value, because he has to take care of this little baby. And the baby gave him, for the first time, gave a sense to his life. Never before.
I mean, there is, I don't want to say joy, but mission. He has a mission now. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on a mission and he has mission. And I wanted to ask you about your first conversations with Robert Pattinson about this role. What was your first conversation with him about doing this? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I do remember, because he heard about the film. He asked to meet me. We met in L.A. and then in London. But I was not convinced completely, because I understood maybe he was too young for the part as it was written in the script. But after discussing with him a long time, an afternoon, I realized I was a fool not to consider him as the Monte of the film. And by the end of the day, I knew it was him. No one else, you know. After that, I had to meet him to speak about the film. But I knew there would never be another choice.
That's so interesting that he was supposed to be an older character, because for me, a big part of this film, and something that actually happens so often in your films, is about somebody growing up. There's mm-hmm. a kind of evolution.
Yeah.
And it needs to be, for me, a younger person, just for us to feel this waste of life, of his younger person being up there. And then, really, halfway into the movie, he becomes kind of a grown man. He becomes an adult, doesn't he?
Exactly. Suddenly he feels... he has this responsibility, and of course, there was time where he wanted to die, but he knows that he can't do it by then, because he is this father, this man with a child, you know?
That's so interesting, because one of the things that happens in your work so much is that we see people, we get this feeling of potential of lives being wasted, of people not really having made wrong choices or having made choices that have led to this kind of terrible place. And to me, having a younger group of actors in this makes it dovetail so neatly into what you've done before.
And also, the like the doctor, or like the character interpreted by Andre Benjamin, a little bit older, but the doctor is far gone. But then Andre Benjamin also, his character is reaching a sort of peace. And he brings a sort of calm and peace and reflection to the crew.
You need that. And also, he's still not that much older than these people. So that he's
not older, but he had a life more fulfilled.
He's had experience, so he's come to the same kind of conclusion in some ways that we see Robert come to by the end of the movie.
And
it's funny because just watching this, and I guess I want to ask you, once you brought Robert into the movie, did it really at that point turn into you into a story about a man growing up? Was that a conscious thing for you?
A man that was not alive. He had never been alive. He had no childhood. And that's why I wanted to start with already the baby. And for me, he suddenly discovered life could be enjoyable, even in this terrible condition, you know?
It's a treatment. I'm having one of the best conversations of my life with the filmmaker Claire Denis, whose new film as director is High Life. Talk to me about that title, because it's so many things. It's literal. It's ironic. Talk about the title.
I will start by the ironic aspect of High Life. But there are two aspects. The first High Life I heard in my life was in my childhood. The music played in Nigeria and Ghana, and I was living in Cameroon, that Nigeria and Ghana were English-speaking countries. And the musician there, when they were, the bands were playing their jazz music, they would call it high life, as mockery maybe for the white people there.
Yeah, sure.
This is high life, you see? We can also... And then, of course, if you translate it, high life, it's not high life in that vessel. But in a way, it's high because there is a hope reaching a place where life matters and has a sense, you know?
No,
it's high.
It's high, and it, again, by the end, it does become aspirational. And I guess I was asking you, too, about... if there were any shifts once you brought Pattinson on board, just because there are points you get to sort of step up and be a defender. Mm-hmm. And I mean, by the end of the movie, he's not only become a father to his child, but a father to this community.
Yeah.
And it's where, I mean, that's why I'm saying it's really, certainly we're seeing him come to life, but we're also seeing him accept responsibility in a way that he probably couldn't before he was put in this place, right?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted to be that monk, that knight, protecting himself with no relation with the other. And then suddenly he's put in the middle of the most daring situation, you know?
There is, I mean, it's so interesting because I think about how much power there is in the titles that you choose anyway. And it makes me wonder, and I'm glad I have a chance to sit down with you and ask you this now, how important titles are to you, because your titles are really suggestive and offer some idea about what the movie is, but don't tell us what the movies are about. And I wonder for you if that's kind of key, that the title means as much as anything else.
I'm maybe not so talented at finding a title, but I know one thing. When a title is wrong with the film, you can't shoot. I mean, you know it all the time. When the slate is clapping, you know this is not the right title. So it's very important to make sure you have the right title. So there is a belief that it's not the title we use for shooting the movie and then we will have another title. No, because it's carved in the film, you know? And it has to be carved in the film.
It's really part of it's the soul of the film, isn't it?
Exactly.
And there is so much a soulful quality to your work. And I think it's one of the reasons that you are so attracted to silence, because you want that soulfulness of the film as well as the characters to speak to us in some way, don't you?
I have to say yes. What can I say? I mean, I have... It's difficult to have a distance on me, on myself, on my work. I try. In a way, I don't look back because it's a little bit frightening to look back. It's a more easy way to look forward. So there is a project or maybe a project or something in mind, not to glue me to what I did before, because otherwise I would become, I'm sure, a pathetic person, you know. The past is important to nourish a life, but it's good to be in the present time, you know, not to be too much staying in the past. And a film, when it's done, is done. It's done, it's done. I mean, when I was in New York with Robert 3 days, 4 days ago, and we have done the film. We are now sharing that we have done the film together, but it is not the same relation. It is behind us. And we are looking forward, you know? And I think it's important. Otherwise, it's sort of fake friendship, you know? No, I mean, it has to be real.
Sure.
Connected with the real, real, real emotional, with the emotion we felt when we were shooting. We did feel everyday emotions. And those are not gone. They are there, you know? It's not when I am with Robert. It's sometime maybe if I watch a clip of the film or I say, ah, yeah, he did that, you know? And
are those emotions triggered for you when you see your films again? Are you reminded of this?
I don't see my films again, but I know, for instance, in a clip that Robert, when he was walking with the little girl, with Willow, she learned how to walk that day, you know? She really did learn walking. And she called him Dad. I mean, this you can't forget. The real father was there, you know? He was jealous. He's a friend of Robert, but it was such a beautiful moment, you know? Something was... we were all together in that moment with the little girl, yeah.
But you don't re-examine your films. Once they're done, you don't look back at them.
I think if I re-examine my film, I would doubt, I would dislike stuff I would like to re-edit. I think it's better not to, just to go somewhere, go my way. It's like walking in the countryside or walking on a mountain, you have to walk and walk and walk and walk, not being sure reaching a place interesting, but if you constantly look backward, the walk is not fun.
We're out of time. I can't thank you enough for doing this. Thank you so much, Claire. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
My guest
thank
is Claire.
Thank you for this interview.
Oh, no, thank you. I'm still thrilled about this. My guest is Claire Denis. Her new film is Filmmaker is, of course, Highlight. Her recording engineer here at NPR West is Marcia Caldwell. The show is mixed by Kat Yours. It is by Blake Veit, who's also associate producer. My life is Beau Travail. It's The Treatment. Catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.